proud warrior questioned the men concerning their origins. "Where do you come from, carrying these decorated shields and shirts of mail, these cheek-hinged helmets and javelins? I am Hrothgar's herald and officer. I have never seen so impressive or large an assembly of strangers. Stoutness of heart, bravery, not banishment, must have brought you to Hrothgar." The man whose name was known for courage, the Geat leader, resolute in his helmet, answered in return, "We are retainers from Hyalak's band. Beowulf is my name. If your lord and master, the most renowned son of Halfdane, will hear me out and graciously allow me to greet him in person, I am ready and willing to report my errand." Wulfgar replied, a Wendel chief renowned as a warrior, well known for his wisdom and the temper of his mind, "I will take this message in accordance with your wish to our noble king, our dear lord, friend of the Danes, the giver of rings. I will go and ask him about your coming here, then hurry back with whatever reply it pleases him to give." With that, he turned to where Hrothgar sat, an old man among retainers. The valiant follower stood four square in front of his king. He knew the courtesies. Wulfgar addressed his dear lord. "People from Geatland have put ashore. They have sailed far over the wide sea. They call the chief in charge of their band by the name of Beowulf. They beg, my lord, an audience with you, exchange of words and formal greeting. Most gracious Hrothgar, do not refuse them, but grant them a reply. From their arms and appointment, they appear well-born and worthy of respect, especially the one who has led them this far. He is formidable indeed." Hrothgar, protector of shieldings, replied, "I used to know him when he was a young boy. His father before him was called Edgetheow. Hrethel the Geat gave Edgetheow his daughter in marriage. This man is their son, here to follow up an old friendship. A crew of seamen who sailed for me once with a gift cargo across to Geatland returned with marvelous tales about him. A thane, they declared, with the strength of 30 in the grip of each hand. Now holy God has, in his goodness, guided him here to the West Danes to defend us from Grendel. This is my hope, and for his heroism I will recompense him with a rich treasure. Go immediately, bid him and the Geats he has in attendance to assemble and enter. Say, moreover, when you speak to them, they are welcome to Denmark." At the door of the hall, Wulfgar duly delivered the message. "My lord, the conquering king of the Danes, bids me announce that he knows your ancestry. Also that he welcomes you here to Herat, and salutes your arrival from across the sea. You are free now to move forward to meet Hrothgar in helmets and armor, but shields must stay here, and spears be stacked until the outcome of the audience is clear." The hero arose, surrounded closely by his powerful thanes. A party remained under orders to keep watch on the arms. The rest proceeded, led by their prince under Herat's roof. And standing on the hearth in webbed links that the smith had woven, the fine forged mesh of his gleaming mail shirt, resolute in his helmet, Beowulf spoke. "Greetings to Hrothgar. I am Hyalak's kinsman, one of his hall troop. When I was younger, I had great triumphs. Then news of Grendel, hard to ignore, reached me at home. Sailors brought stories of the plight you suffer in this legendary hall, how it lies deserted, empty and useless once the evening light hides itself under heaven's dome. So every elder and experienced councilman among my people supported my resolve to come here to you, King Hrothgar, because all knew of my awesome strength. They had seen me bolted in the blood of enemies when I battled and bound 5 beasts, raided a troll nest, and in the night sea slaughtered sea brutes. I have suffered extremes and avenged the Geats. Their enemies brought it upon themselves. I devastated them. Now I mean to be a match for Grendel. Settle the outcome in single combat. And so my request, O King of Bright Danes, dear Prince of the Shieldings, friend of the people and their ring of defense, my one request is that you won't refuse me, who have come this far, the privilege of purifying Herat, with my own men to help me, and nobody else. I have heard, moreover, that the monster scorns in his reckless way to use weapons. Therefore, to heighten Hygelac's fame and gladden his heart, I hereby renounce sword and the shelter of the broad shield, the heavy warboard. Hand to hand is how it will be. A life and death fight with the fiend. Whichever one death fells must deem it a just judgment by God. If Grendel wins, it will be a gruesome day. He will glut himself on the Geats in the war hall, swoop without fear on that flower of manhood as on others before. Then my face won't be there to be covered in death. He will carry me away as he goes to ground, gorged and bloodied. He will run gloating with my raw corpse and feed on it alone in a cruel frenzy, fouling his moor nest. No need, then, to lament for long or lay out my body. If the battle takes me, send back this breast-webbing that Welland fashioned and Hrethel gave me to Lord Hygelac. Fate goes ever as fate must. Hrothgar, the Helmet of Shieldings, spoke. Beowulf, my friend, you have traveled here to favor us with help and to fight for us. There was a feud one time, begun by your father. With his own hands he had killed Hatheloth, who was a wolfing. So war was looming, and his people, in fear of it, forced him to leave. He came away then over rolling waves to the South Danes here, the Sons of Honor. I was then in the first flush of kingship, establishing my sway over all the rich strongholds of this heroic land. Haragar, my older brother, and the better man, also a son of Half-Danes, had died. Finally, I healed the feud by paying. I shipped a treasure trove to the Wolfings, and Edgetheow acknowledged me with oaths of allegiance. It bothers me to have to burden anyone with all the grief Grendel has caused and the havoc he has wreaked upon us in Herat, our humiliations. My household guard are on the wane. Fate sweeps them away into Grendel's clutches. But God can easily halt these raids and harrowing attacks. Time and again, when the goblets passed and seasoned fighters got flushed with beer, they would pledge themselves to protect Herat and wait for Grendel with whetted swords. But when dawn broke, and day crept in over each empty, blood-spattered bench, the floor of the mead hall where they had feasted would be slick with slaughter. And so they died, faithful retainers, and my following dwindled. Now, take your place at the table. Relish the triumph of heroes to your heart's content. Then a bench was cleared in that banquet hall, so the Geats could have room to be together, and the party sat, proud in their bearing, strong and stalwart. An attendant stood by with a decorated pitcher, pouring bright helpings of mead. And the minstrel sang, filling Herat with his head-clearing voice, gladdening that great rally of Geats and Danes. From where he crouched at the king's feet, Unverth, a son of Edgelaf's, spoke contrary words. Beowulf's coming, his sea-braving, made him sick with envy. He could not brook or abide the fact that anyone else alive under heaven might enjoy greater regard than he did. "Are you the Beowulf who took on Brecha in a swimming match on the open sea, risking the water just to prove that you could win? It was sheer vanity made you venture out on the main deep, and no matter who tried, friend or foe, to deflect the pair of you, neither would back down. The sea test obsessed you. You waded in, embracing water, taking its measure, mastering currents, riding on the swell. The ocean swayed, winter went wild in the waves, but you vied for 7 nights. And then he outswam you, came ashore the stronger contender. He was cast up safe and sound one morning among the Hatherams, then made his way to where he belonged in Bronding country, home again, sure of his ground in strong room and bond. So Brecha made good his boast upon you and was proved right. No matter, therefore, how you may have fared in every bout and battle until now, this time you'll be worsted. No one has ever outlasted an entire night against Grendel." Beowulf, Ecgtheow's son, replied, "Well, friend Unverf, you have had your say about Brecha and me, but it was mostly beer that was doing the talking. The truth is this, when the going was heavy in those high waves, I was the strongest swimmer of all. We'd been children together, and we grew up daring ourselves to outdo each other, boasting and urging each other to risk our lives on the sea. And so it turned out. Each of us swam holding a sword, a naked, hard-proofed blade for protection against the whale beasts. But Brecha could never move out farther or faster from me than I could manage to move from him. Shoulder to shoulder we struggled on for 5 nights, until the long flow and pitch of the waves, the perishing cold, night falling and winds from the north drove us apart. The deep boiled up, and its wallowing sent the sea brutes wild. My armor helped me to hold out. My hard-ringed chainmail, hand-forged and linked, a fine, close-fitting filigree of gold, kept me safe when some ocean creature pulled me to the bottom. Pinioned fast and swathed in its grip, I was granted one final chance. My sword plunged, and the ordeal was over. Through my own hands, the fury of battle had finished off the sea beast. Time and again foul things attacked me, lurking and stalking, but I lashed out, gave as good as I got with my sword. My flesh was not for feasting on. There would be no monsters gnawing and gloating over their banquet at the bottom of the sea. Instead, in the morning, mangled and sleeping the sleep of the sword, they slopped and floated like the ocean's leavings. From now on, sailors would be safe. The deep-sea raids were over for good. Light came from the east, bright guarantee of God, and the waves went quiet. I could see headlands and buffeted cliffs. Often, for undaunted courage, fate spares the man it has not already marked. However it occurred, my sword had killed 9 sea monsters. Such night dangers and hard ordeals I have never heard of, nor of a man more desolate in surging waves. But worn out as I was, I survived, came through with my life. The ocean lifted and laid me ashore. I landed safe on the coast of Finland. Now I cannot recall any fight you entered, Unverf, that bears comparison. I don't boast when I say that neither you nor Brecha were ever much celebrated for swordsmanship, or for facing danger on the field of battle. You killed your own kith and kin, so for all your cleverness and quick tongue, you will suffer damnation in the depths of hell. The fact is, Unverf, If you were truly as keen or courageous as you claim to be, Grendel would never have got away with such unchecked atrocity, attacks on your king, havoc in Herat, and horrors everywhere. But he knows he need never be in dread of your blade making a mizzle of his blood, or of vengeance arriving ever from this quarter, from the victory shieldings, the shoulderers of the spear. He knows he can trample down you Danes to his heart's content, humiliate and murder without fear of reprisal. But he will find me different. I will show him how Geat's shaped to kill in the heat of battle. Then whoever wants to may go bravely to Mead when morning light, scarfed in sun-dazzle, shines forth from the south and brings another daybreak to the world. Then the gray-haired treasure-giver was glad. Far famed in battle, the prince of bright Danes and keeper of his people counted on Beowulf, on the warrior's steadfastness and his word. So the laughter started, the din got louder, and the crowd was happy. Waltheow came in, Hrothgar's queen, observing the courtesies. Adorned in her gold, she graciously saluted the men in hall, then handed the cup first to Hrothgar, their homeland's guardian, urging him to drink deep and enjoy it, because he was dear to them. And he drank it down like the warlord he was, with festive cheer. So the helming woman went on her rounds, queenly and dignified, decked out in rings, offering the goblet to all ranks, treating the household and the assembled troop, until it was Beowulf's turn to take it from her hand. With measured words she welcomed the Geat and thanked God for granting her wish that a deliverer she could believe in would arrive to ease their afflictions. He accepted the cup, a daunting man, dangerous in action and eager for it always. He addressed Waltheow. Beowulf, son of Edgetheow, said, "I had a fixed purpose when I put to sea. As I sat in the boat with my band of men, I meant to perform to the uttermost what your people wanted, or perish in the attempt, in the fiend's clutches. And I shall fulfill that purpose, prove myself with a proud deed, or meet my death here in the Mead Hall." This formal boast by Beowulf the Geat pleased the lady well, and she went to sit by Hrothgar, regal and arrayed with gold. Then it was like old times in the echoing hall, proud talk and the people happy, loud and excited, until soon enough Half-Dane's heir had to be away to his night's rest. He realized that the demon was going to descend on the hall, that he had plotted all day, from dawn light until darkness gathered again over the world and stealthy night shapes came stealing forth under the cloud murk. The company stood as the two leaders took leave of each other. Hrothgar wished Beowulf health and good luck, named him hall warden, and announced as follows, "Never, since my hand could hold a shield, have I entrusted or given control of the Danes' hall to anyone but you. Ward and guard it, for it is the greatest of houses. Be on your mettle now. Keep in mind your fame. Beware of the enemy. There's nothing you wish for that won't be yours if you win through alive." Hrothgar departed then, with his house guard. The Lord of the Shieldings, their shelter in war, left the Mead Hall to lie with Waltheow, his queen and bedmate. The King of Glory, as people learned, had posted a lookout who was a match for Grendel, a guard against monsters, special protection to the Danish prince. And the Geat placed complete trust in his strength of limb and the Lord's favor. He began to remove his iron breastmail, took off the helmet, and handed his attendant the patterned sword, a smith's masterpiece, ordering him to keep the equipment guarded. And before